part of a walk of faith is to view things not through the eyes of the past or through the eyes of the present, but through the eyes of God, and acknowledging what he's done and rejoicing in what he shall do. You see, the facts are the same on the first level, but in one case, you're filled with dead works, again, trying to figure out the answer to the dead works or to the guilt or the fear or the unbelief and those sorts of things. And that, too, is dead works. You know, so that's why you go back in the Old Testament and you see over the span of a couple thousand years, the thing they kept doing again and again and again and again is remembering the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and remembering again and again the truths. I was going to say the stories. They're not stories. They were facts about the God that we serve and the things that he's done. Who is this Yeshua? Who is this Yahweh? Who is this El Shaddai Adonai? Who is this God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, and now the God of the bride of his son? Who is this God? To look back on the things that he's done and to look at our futures in light of that rather than light of our minuscule situation is the walk of faith and the ground the miracles are accomplished on. If he allowed us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and to eventually overcome this thing by trying to, you know, get our life together gradually, if he allowed us to be very successful at that, we would get the idea that that's what Christianity is about. And it's not. He is merciful, and he does allow us to overcome some things just through time. But that isn't his favorite way. You know, his favorite way is for us to recall and to retell the story of a God who parts the Red Sea and delivers his people with power. A God who amazes the Gentiles and favors his chosen ones and loves them and goes before them like a thundering storm of authority and power and covers behind them with the gentleness of a cool breeze and a bubbling brook. You know, he leads us to green pastures and along the quiet waters, and he's our God. And so to recall the God who has been the God, the Abba, the daddy of his people for so many generations, and to say that's our God, and to view our future in view of him rather than in view of the sequence of events and the way we're feeling, that's the walk of faith. It's the ground for miracles to take place. Was it Galatians 3? Did God work his miracles among you because of the good things that you did or because you believed? It's not just a psychological ploy to say, okay, then, you know, I'm going to stand. I mean, that's shallow. The words may actually be right, but somewhere in our heart, it has to be a turning towards him and standing on his character, on the unshakable character that was made to shine in the face of Jesus Christ, the man who walked through the crowds and healed the sick and spoke words that melted the hearts of men and exposed the hideous things in men's hearts, as well as drew out the fearful things and set captives free, preached good news to the poor, hopeless men, men of despair, men of confusion and frustration and lostness and loneliness, found in the consolation of Israel. That same Jesus is our God, our Lord and our God, and offers that same hope, same consolation, the same anchor that holds within the veil to us as we fix our eyes on him. So it's not a gimmick to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though my enemies strike me down, yet shall I rise. You know, that's not Zig Ziglar. That's believing the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the I Am, is still alive and it's still our God. The pleasure of the Father has always and only been in his Son. No one but God is good. He's never been impressed with our good works anyway. And the measure of his pleasure is our faith and trust in his Son. See, so it all goes back to the same place again. How much do you disappoint him? Well, it depends on how much you take your eyes off his Son, not how many things you do wrong. This is the work of God, to believe in the one whom he sent. So all the more reason No, it's not two separate things. Well, I love him, I trust him, but I let him down. It's like, I know because the Father loves the Son, that as I hide myself in the Son, as I allow myself to be cleansed in the blood of the Son, and I let him wash me. I'm not like Peter who said, oh, you can't wash me. I'm not worthy of that. You know, you're too good and I'm too bad. No, he said, look, I need to wash you. You can't be with me if I don't wash you. You need to let me wash you. Let me come to you. You need to receive me to as many as receive him. It's really one and the same thing. If you hide yourself in the Son and allow the freedom from being cleansed from acts that lead to death by his blood, if you'll relinquish your right to disappoint him or your right to impress him and just hide yourself totally in the Son, the fruit will come by abiding in him, and his pleasure will be found by your faith in his Son, not by your good or your bad. It's the good news. That can be abstract truth, or you can live that way the next time you get faced with a problem.